This morning, as was just read, we'll be in 1 John 2:15, and I titled it a command, Do Not Love the World. And you see real quick where I got the title was found in verse 15 of 1 John 2, where John begins and he writes, Do not love the world nor the things of the world. Let me start by telling you that is a statement of command. That is a command, not an option. You and I are not to love the world. Now, we've read that many times over the years, and I know you've probably read it. We've had classes on it. We've taught about it. And yet, we all are in agreement that that's what we don't need to do. We don't need to love the world. And we might even think we don't love the world. But I've come to realize in 30 plus years how much an influence the world really has over us, the church. And I see it when, you know, we have a war, for instance. Wars are terrible things. But when you have a war and all of a sudden everyone in the world, and I'm talking about maybe in our nation, the world around us, all of a sudden they get God-centered. And they'll say that people go back in mass droves when our towers were struck on 9/11. They said the greatest attendance had been back to religious facilities that had ever increased. And you know what? Same thing happened in the church. It shouldn't be that way. But it's influenced us more than anything that we really want to admit to sometimes. You take the denominational world. Someone comes up with a new book. It's not long. You got people in the church. Hey, let's study that. Let's read about that. Good class material. And we jump right on board. Sometimes. We don't realize how much we love the world. John said, do not love the world. Now, having said that, I want you to know there are three words that are used in the Greek for the word world. And they're so different from one another. One word is the word oikomene. It means the inhabited earth. The idea of what God created, His creation. That's not the word used here. There's a second term used in the Greek. It's the term aeon. It means a specific age in time in the history of man. An age. That's not the word used here. There's a third word that's used in the Greek. And that's the word cosmos. That's the word used here. The word cosmos is an arrangement. It is an arrangement, it's an order that comes out of the sum total of thinking, desires, attitudes that everyone else has. That's what we're talking about. When you see this some arrangement of these attitudes and these desires, you know, it's what people have made, what we have created in society. That's what he says. I don't want you to giving your affection to. I don't want you sacrificing for this arrangement that the world has created through their attitudes, through their desires, through their thinking, through whatever they do. In fact, he says, do not love this arrangement, this world's thinking, these world's attitudes, and the things in the world. They've created a system. There is a system in our world that tells you how to think and how to believe and how to react. And there's this system in our world that tells you everything must fit within this realm. This is how human nature is. This is how to overcome this and overcome that. And by the way, here are the things that the world, this arrangement, this order has created. And John said, do not love that. And do not love the things that they've created. Why is this so serious for you and for me? I'm going to show you three things. There's three things that are at stake. There's three things that you need to realize that when you start sacrificing and going after the thinking of the world, or you start sacrificing and going after the things that the world has created, and let that be a driving force in your life, there's three elements that will happen to you. Look at verse 15 again. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Number one, when you love the world and the things in that arrangement, you lose the love of God in yourself. You lose it. I mean, the love of the Father. The love of the Father just kind of goes by the way, and we don't give any thought about what we can do. You and I have a decision to make. You either retain the love of the Father within you, or you're going to let the love of the Father go and have a love for the world and the things in the world. You can't have it both. It's impossible. It was Jesus who said, you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one, you're going to hate the other. You're going to cling to one, and you're going to despise the other. You can't have it both ways. And so if you and I end up and we start going after the things of the world, the first thing you're going to lose inside of you is the love of the Father. You're not going to think about the Father very much. And how do I know I've lost that? How do I know that I am a professed Christian and that I don't love the world? Well, how do I know I do love the world? Look at the things you go after. Look at the things you live for. Look at the things that stir and excite you. Look at the things that you dedicate to. Look at the things that you will put in front of the love of God. That's all it takes. Number one problem, you will lose the love of the Father. Second thing you will lose, jump over to chapter 5 if you would with me, please. Look at verse 19. The second thing, he says, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The second thing that happens when you love the world and the things in the world, you place yourself voluntarily under the power of the evil one. John says, we know that we are of God. John knows as an apostle. John knows, and those other apostles knew, we are of God. You ought to know you're of God. But if you're not of God, if you love the world, you lose the love of God and you place yourself under the power of the evil one, because he says the whole world, that attitude, that thinking, that the things that they've created all come from the power of the evil one. He's the influencer behind all of it. And so to understand, you know what? When we're dealing with this world out here, what do we have to be aware of? What do we have to be careful about? There is a power that's unseen, that's directing them, that's cradled in the lap of the devil, in the lap of the evil one. And he's pulling all the strings for them. And he's telling them, yeah, let's create this, Let's create this idea. Let's go over here and get this attitude. Yeah, let's get this prevailing thought on how to deal with things. And man does it. Because see, the whole world is controlled and influenced by the evil one. And so when you and I love the world and things in the world, second thing you do, you put yourself voluntarily under his power. Because you don't have a love for the Father. Third thing, come back to chapter 2. Look at verse 17. John writes, "The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." The third thing that happens when you love the world, you make a trade-off. You trade the eternal for the temporal that's passing away. You just trade it off. He says, "For the one who does the will of God lives forever." Do you know what the world doesn't have? They don't have any care for the will of God. They don't care what God's will is for this or God's will for that. All they do is that they live for the now, the temporary. The world doesn't think in terms of eternity. They don't think of eternal things. Now, if you don't believe that you're going to die, then you've got nothing to fret. Go for it. Go live and engross yourself in all of the thinking and all of the attitude and all of the desires. You go and you just fill your life full of all the things you want to fill your life full of that the world wants you to have. Because you got nothing to worry about. But I'll tell you, if you believe in eternity, then there better be one thing start prevailing as the foremost thing in your life, and that is the will of God. Now that's what we need to be able to see. And so you and I real easily in Christ Jesus, John's writing this to the church, and you know, you can lose it just like that. You and I can lose the love of the Father. You and I can come under the power of the devil, and did you know if you come under the power of the devil, he's not going to let you think you're under his power. But then all you have to do is ask yourself, how concerned are you about the will of God? Well, let's find out what you trade things off for. And then thirdly, you give up eternity. Eternal life with God because of the love of the world. Now I'll say a couple of things a little hard, but I need to say them. You know, anytime you start teaching or start preaching or start speaking about truth, it makes people upset. When you start teaching that there is only one standard of teaching, you know what the immediate response from the world is? You're a cult. You're a cult. That's what cults do. Are they get so bent out of shape and they start accusing you, "Oh, you people think you're the only ones going to heaven." That's exactly the way the devil operates. The devil wants you and me to forget the will of God, forget the love of the Father, forget that there is a standard of truth, and we're all just one big happy family as long as you believe in the Lord, as long as you do the things, you know, that are somewhat close. It's okay. Grace of God's going to cover it all. That's not the truth. You and I must be concerned with the will of the Father. For those who do the will of the Father lives forever. Those that do not do the will of the Father will not live forever with the Father. We need to hear that. And that's the way the world tries to control. Jesus had the same thing. You go back through and you read the whole chapter of John 8. And in that chapter, there is a group of Jews that said they came to believe him. They believed Jesus. You know what Jesus ended up and told those ones who believed him? "You are of your father, the devil." Can you imagine Jesus saying that to people who believed him? And he said, you know why? Because you want to do the desires of your father. Because there is no truth in him. He does not stand for truth, and he does not speak the truth. And here I am telling you the truth, and you won't listen to me. And then he tells them in John chapter 8, verse 47, he who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. You know how they responded to Jesus? John 8, 48 says, and they said, you have a demon. You're a Samaritan. Wow. That's why people get upset when you say there is one standard of teaching. You see, to accuse Jesus of being a Samaritan was about one of the lowliest things you could do, because here Jesus is a Jew, and he's coming, the Messiah comes from the Jews, and to be accused of being a half-Jew at best, that you're born out of fornication, Jesus. That's what they were saying. And then you have a demon. Oh yeah, devil's not afraid to throw that out there. Oh, it happens all the time, brethren. If you love the world, you're going to talk like the world, believe like the world. Let me throw this at you. The majority of religions, I'm talking denominational world, they teach baptism of some way, some form. The problem is they don't teach baptism is where one comes in contact with the blood of Jesus, where their sins are washed away. And so they tie all of these other ideas, and so people start thinking, well, as long as you were baptized, well, I was baptized, you know. I was baptized as a ritual. I was baptized to wash away the sins of my parents. I was baptized, you know, for some other religious reason. But you know what? There's no truth in that. You know what Paul said? Paul, when he recounted his baptism in Acts 22, he told them, I was told by Ananias to be baptized to wash away my sins, to call on the name of the Lord, Acts 22, 16. He didn't argue that. Well, don't you understand? There's two different baptisms. We have water baptism, and then we have baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's baptism of the Holy Spirit Jesus wants, because back there John said, you know, back in his gospel, John said that Jesus would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And it was Jesus who does that. He's talking about Holy Spirit baptism. Wait a second. Paul said in Acts chapter 4, verse 5, there is one baptism. Now you're telling me there's two. There is a standard of truth. Then what in the world is Holy Spirit baptism? It's only used two times in the entire Bible. Two instances. One is Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, and it was about the apostles. The second one is Acts chapters 10 and 11 on the house of Cornelius, to show that the Gentiles were about to be led into this salvation from Jesus Christ. It appears nowhere else. And then Peter tells the Jews on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized. Rob went over that in class with us this morning. I'm trying to get us to see, brethren, that all the world out here, the world has all of their ideas. We're trying to be concerned, but doing the will of the Father. And if you don't have the love of the Father in you, then forget the will of God. We don't have to worry about the will of God. You can just be religious and just go your own way. But do not love the world. Don't you love the things of the world? He says, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Now, having said that, here's the means that the evil one, the devil's going to use to lead you and me astray from the will of God and to exchange the love of the Father. Look back with me at verse 16. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. How would the devil work on you to lead you astray? How would the devil use the world to get you back? those three elements. He says, the lust of the flesh. The devil's going to stir things that appeals to your desires. You want something really bad. You want to do something. And he wants to stir those desires, those lusts. He says the second thing is the lust of the eyes. I want you to see it with your eyes and want it. Make things visual. Because you see, if I can get your desires stirred up, if I can get you to see it and make you want it, I'll get you away from the love of God and the will of God. And I'll bring you under my domain. And the third means, he says in verse 16, and the boastful pride of life. You're special. Yeah. My children are special. I want you to have a good standing in the community. I want you to be a somebody. The boastful pride of life. And it makes you self-centered, self-seeking, self-pleasing, self-wanting. And he said, you know what? Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. These are the things the world promotes. These are the things the world, you know, encourages. And it's all around us. And the devil has worked in this way from the very beginning of time to right now in 2012 at the end of it. He hasn't changed tactics. Time's not going to allow. If you and I were to go back and look at Genesis 3, there's just something to go back and read again. When he approached Eve, you remember what the devil asked Eve? Did God say that you can't eat from any tree? Oh no, he didn't say that. He said we just couldn't eat from one tree in the middle of the garden. Knowledge of good and evil. That tree. You know what he told her? That's not true. Because God knows that the day you eat of it, you will become like God, knowing good and evil. What are we stirring? What do you think he's promoting? What does Eve do? It said she looked and she saw the fruit, and it was a delight to the eyes. Lust of the eyes. She saw it was desirable to make one wise. Oh, the boastful pride of life. She saw that it was good to look upon, to stir her desires to want. Lust of the flesh. They were all three there. Eve, Adam, had a relationship with God. They had it. They had the love of God. They had the will of God. And you know what they did? They exchanged it for those three elements, because she saw and she took and she ate. The love of God goes out the door. The will of God goes out the door. And you know where you find yourself at that point? You're so separated from God, you get driven out of the presence of God. But see, that's not what the world says. The world says, oh, God's going to save everybody. Do you know that? It doesn't matter if you do His will or not. It doesn't matter if you follow truth or not. It doesn't matter. All you got to do is just, you know, you can have a little of this and a little of that. That's the power of the devil. The whole world lies in that. Follow with me for 1 second. Come back to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua, right after the book of Deuteronomy. Actually, let's go to Joshua 7. The devil hadn't changed anything. Joshua chapter 7, and I wanted you to read this. I wanted you to see it. God had promised His people, I'm going to give you a territory. They are about to enter into that territory that God promised. And the first major city is this, Jericho, the most fortified city that they're going to have to face. And God's about to take it down. And God tells His people, I'm putting the city under ban. I want things to be destroyed with fire, and I'm going to lay out some things that will be brought into my house for my use. But don't you people touch it. Stay away from it, because there's consequences. This ban is on. Well, when they go through, there's a fellow by the name of Achan. And Achan, he decides he wants to take two or three little items no one will ever know. Yeah. We're dealing with a real God here, brethren. Listen to chapter 7. Look at verse 15. It shall be that the one who has taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire. He and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. I want you to notice, he's transgressed a covenant. God makes a covenant. He's a covenant God. God makes a covenant with us through Jesus. Your sins and your lawless deeds, I remember no more. But we can break that. God made a covenant with Israel. He broke it. And now when you break the covenant, God is not pleased with people that break His covenant. Come on down to verse 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to Him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. So Achan answered Joshua and said, truly I have sinned against the Lord and the God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them, and I took them. And behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent, with the silver underneath it. Here's what I did. I saw lust of the eyes. I coveted lust of the flesh. I took it, the boastful pride of life, because I'm about to become a rich man. Yeah, I'm going to have it all. I've got it all. And you know what price came with this? You see, Moses tells him, you better come, or Joshua tells him, you better come clean. He did. But he came clean because he got caught. And it's over with. You know what happened? Achan, his family, his wife, his children, his cattle, all of his animals were burned. You know what you learn? You're a person that loves the world. What if you're taking your children down that same road? Let me teach you how to love the world, children. It cost Achan's family. They didn't do it. But God's trying to send a message. I am God. I am your God. I'm a God of truth. I'm a God that's bringing you into my presence. And you can't defile me like that. Don't tell me you love me and then turn around and do something like this. And maybe we're doing the same thing today. Or you get over to Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira looked like the best givers, the most benevolent people on the face of the earth. Oh, they had a great show going. And they wanted to be recognized for this great show. The problem is, they lied about it. They deceived others, and they kept it in their pocket because we're going to have more money left over from the land we sold. And the problem with Ananias and Sapphira, they did not get a chance to repent. Sometimes you're put in a position, and it is too late. There is no opportunities to change. And the Lord's trying to get you and I to understand that. And you're going to love the world and the things in the world, you're going to forfeit the love of God. You're going to forfeit yourself by putting yourself under the power of the evil one, and you're not going to concern yourself with doing the will of God anymore. And you just mark that down right here. And how big of a struggle is it in the church? Brothers and sisters, never, ever should any of us have to appeal for people to come to worship. Because forgiven, saved people do the will of God. And that's what they want to do. But if you love the world or the things in the world, that arrangement, it's not a high priority on your list. No. There's a high price to go with this. Here we are. We got to decide, do we love the Father or do we love the world? Some are so enslaved. They are a slave of the lusts of television. You see, the television is an order and arrangement put together by the world. We put all these shows on there that parade right before us. Accept homosexuality. Accept all these perversions. Accept all these lusts. And we can't wait to watch those. Have we already been taken captive and the love of God's just gone out of our heart? Some are enslaved to the lust of drinking. Hey, let's just go out and have a social drink. Nothing wrong with it, you know. Let's just go out there and let's just be like the world, think like the world, act like the world. So let's just go have a drink, you know. Let's just do that. There's nothing wrong. I'm not going to get drunk or anything. Where's the love of God? I'm asking. Sometimes we're afraid to ask those questions. Because the world has an order and they say it's okay. But what about the love of God? What about the will of God? Other people within the church believe it's okay to go worship with other churches, denominations. Just as long as you're going, it doesn't matter what they believe and what they teach. Forget the will of God. Forget the love of God. Forget any truth. As long as you're going to worship. I can't imagine the apostles ever teaching that. But here the old devil says, yeah, but look at all these good folks. Oh, we're not elitists. We got visitors this morning, they're sitting there thinking your preacher thinks that we're a bunch of elitists. I do not. I want to do the will of God. I want to follow the truth. I don't want to be half-cocked. I don't want to give the impression to the world that there is no standard from God. And that's what we need to look at. Well, it boils down to this as we close. Does eternity mean anything to you? For the one who does the will of the Father, they will live forever. So we got to ask, does eternity really matter? Well, take a good examination of your life. What are you involved in? What are you going after? What stirs you? What are you dedicated to? Huh? You got your answer right there. God is working to bring us to Himself. God is trying so hard, brothers and sisters. Jesus died to get us right. And for you and I to go off half-cocked, for you and I to go off and say, well, we're going to love a little bit of that and some of this, God says, that is a rejection. We need to know that. And I want you to know it this morning. Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. The Apostle John penned that, not me. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. The Apostle John penned that too. And there is a standard. You look at yourself. You look. If you need to make a move, do so. Because you're not getting better. Each step of the way you go off into the world, the love of God wanes a little bit more and gets a little less in your heart. Till one day, He's gone. And then you got to play that game, have to try to soothe your conscience. But you're lost. And that's not God's intention.